guys are ridiculous. Why am I here?
What are you doing in Salsa's house?
What am I doing in Salsa's house?
I had a lovely It's turned from a fun callback into an existential crisis. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Greetings, Apropos. And buckle up for the existential crisis.
The sexistential crisis?
No.
Okay.
That's a lot more fun.
Oh.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. Look, I know how to get a train back on the rail.
And
just one of them, though.
Brute force, yeah.
When you're having an existential crisis, what's the answer?
Is it booze?
It's booze.
Hooray! I like
it.
It
is sometimes booze.
It's booze.
The answer. One side of one sheep in Scotland.
The answer to most questions for me is booze. What do we got?
So, Jenna spotted, we were pondering our options coming off of a canned cocktail month, and Jenna espied an Arizona premium spiked beverage. So, all the joy of the 90s.
I hate to say this, I'm pretty sure you were the one that spied the Arizona spiked beverage.
Oh?
I saw the twisted tea maybe beneath it, and then you went the Arizona, and I went, yes.
I was so concerned that this was garlic and onions thing.
Right, no. Yeah. In this instance, okay. I believe it was, in fact, you that said it first.
I feel like you're couching, you're like hedging your bets in case it sucks, and I respect that.
No, I this
because
is
then
what
you
I remember.
Can blame me.
I was going to blame you for this, let's be real.
Yeah. All the joy of the middle 90s in can form, but now with booze.
Yes.
So, we have three cans of four flavors.
We do?
Yes.
Yeah,
so we've got four
today
weeks.
We're only doing the one.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what is going on?
Okay. So we all have the strawberry lemonade.
Yeah, we have, This is the Arizona premium spiked beverage, hard cowboy cocktail, strawberry lemonade. I already have issues.
Yeah.
You have issues with hard cowboys?
No, I have issues with the word cowboy being anywhere on this because
yeah, I guarantee you. Yeah.
I have known a few cowboys in my life. I'm related to some, and I'm going to tell you right now, none of them would have anything to do with this.
It's made out of cowboy.
Oh, it's made out of cowboy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, hope you didn't like that.
It's made out of cow and boy.
Yeah, at least it's not cow poke.
Yeah.
Are your Girl Scout cookies made with your Girl Scouts?
I was going to say, because Jenna's allergic to cream. So
they better be.
Oh, God. Hmm? Wow. I'm not. No, mad at you.
Anyway, bottoms up.
Yeah. All right.
You know, honestly, that's not terrible.
It really isn't, no.
No, that's pretty tasty. It's, that's the right kind of strawberry flavor. Wow. It's not like that sickeningly, like, sticky, sweet.
It's not
bordering
syrup.
Yeah.
But it is...
It's pretty sweet.
It definitely has sweet, but it's not syrup. It's like, I don't know, made from syrup concentrate.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
No, it actually tastes closer to a strawberry puree than a strawberry syrup.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's like a strawberry daiquiri.
Hmm. Mm. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's way better than it has any right to be looking like that.
Shit. Looking like the wall of a 1990s shopping center. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like if the opening sequence of Saved by the Bell came to life.
Oh my God. It is.
Ooh.
I mean, listeners, just go look this one up.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to remember to take pictures. But you want to see this.
I mean, it has
the straight up like teal lettering on the pink background with the purple accents
with
and
the crazy geometric shapes.
Yeah, this is the word hard is in teal with a shadow drop.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's written kind of a thing. The 80s written.
Every single word is in a different font.
It is. It truly is. I'm noticing that. I'm also noticing that this is functionally a geo tracker in beverage form. Is basically.
God. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's. But no, it does. It tastes better than it has any right to.
Mm-hmm.
I expected sadness and chaos, and I am pleasantly surprised.
It was a low bar.
It was a low bar.
So.
Yeah.
Lower your bar.
Oh. I feel like I've heard that somewhere before.
Let us collectively lower our bar.
Our bars, comrade.
Yes.
God.
In Soviet Russia, bar lowers you.
Jesus Christ.
Limbo?
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time somebody pulled out a Yakov Smirnoff joke?
I feel like I've done it more recently than I want to admit to.
This weekend, Jax hit us with one.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it says something like, in Mother Russia, IKEA assembles you, or something like...
That's just how we know we're hanging out with the right crowd.
Was Jax... I don't want this to sound mean. Was Jax even alive?
During the Yakov Smirnoff years?
Era.
I don't know.
I
do not know the answer to this question.
The comedic arts in a series of eras. There's the pre-Smirnoff era.
Boom!
Oh, God!
I was watching.
Song says, "Had an apoplectic fit."
Okay. Okay.
I was watching Richard Osman's House of Games.
Okay.
And one of them was a picture thing, and they had a picture of the four Marx brothers, and they said, "Which one is Harpo?" And people got it wrong.
But.
How? I don't know. And even the ones who got it right had to guess. And I was like, what is wrong with everything right now?
You're an old man, Salsa.
There's
like,
a lot of that.
Let's be real. Not quite the influence that it...
Yeah. Even the comedian.
Have.
Like... Richard Osman was like, you're a comedian. You should probably know this. And he was like, well, it's this one. And I know it's that one, not because I know it, but because a comedian friend of mine makes a joke about him looking like Harpo, and that's the one that looks like him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what
Harpo by inference.
Is going on right
now? Oh, no.
So yeah, you've got comedy eras
Well, that's definitely true.
You know what? I'm glad we're done with Larry the Cable Guy. That's really fucking where I'm at.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? That happened, and we can't deny that it happened. Mm-hmm. But we can learn and grow from our mistakes. Yeah. I think is
like,
how I feel.
We
about
had
that.
The Buster Keaton years, and then we had the Laurel and Hardy era, and then the Marx Brothers, and then the Yakov Smirnoffs, and now we're into
and there was nothing in between those.
Nope, not at all.
Nothing.
No.
Fuck. Oh. Yeah. Oh. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
We jumped. Well,
fuck Robin Williams. I guess. Jesus.
We talked about that earlier. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's a little hairy for you.
I would go more with Carlin era, but that's just me.
Sure. No, Carlin definitely had a strong fucking influence on how stand-up comedy works today, really.
Yeah. Carlin, I would say, is middle 80s, like started in the early 80s, but I would say hit peak toward middle 80s to... The 2000s.
I thought Carlin was a little bit earlier than the 80s.
You might be right.
I think he was earlier.
Okay. Because he might be like late 1970s.
I think he was late 70s is when he kind of hit his.
That's.
But I'm trying to think when I first started seeing him on TV and.
It was as the conductor in.
That would have been in the middle
Thomas
80s.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
Mm.
When he took over for Ringo.
From Ringo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was weird.
That is a weird fact to explain to someone. One.
It's interesting to me because you have like fucking George Carlin on Thomas the Tank Engine.
Seven dirty words you can't say on television, yep. George Carlin.
You've got Bob Saget.
Jesus
on
Christ.
On Full House.
Right, oh. As America's most wholesome father. Yeah,
you've got like there are a bunch of these you're like, I can't remember the comedian I was watching just recently. They were like, if you know me from this, buckle up.
Right.
Okay, I'm not crazy. Carlin's early career was 1959 to 1960.
Holy shit.
Where he started doing characters. Some of them probably have not aged well.
Probably not. Yeah.
But like variety performance stuff.
Okay.
During the 60s, Carlin began appearing on television variety shows where he played various characters, including a Native American sergeant.
Ah, good.
A stupid radio disc jockey and a hippie weatherman.
Yeah.
Carlin's debut album was in 1967.
Late 60s.
I'm like, I thought he was more 70s than we're giving him credit for, so I had to look it up.
Well, then James,
you are absolutely correct.
But
Anyway. Well, I just associate Carlin, like the Carlin aesthetic.
Well, the thing is Carlin's career spanned the 1980s. Years.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about shitty cans.
Just 80s vomit all over this thing.
Yeah, this looks like I'm about to order 1990s Taco Bell from it.
Oh, shit. No, that's accurate.
Yeah.
No, I'm giving this one a hard 89.
Mm.
Yeah, I seriously.
Oh. This is.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
count the
7.
Fonts.
7 different fonts. No, just on the label.
Oh, just on the label.
I'm not even. Eight. Just on the label. 8 different fonts.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, that is an accurate count.
Yeah, no, the kerning on this is atrocious.
No.
Slash Kemming,
As somebody who's done design, I have to drink more of this to forget I ever looked at it. pain away.
I'm pretty sure... is the Cowboy Cocktail, is that written in papyrus font?
Not quite.
Not quite like papyrus.
It's close.
It's close to papyrus, but it's not quite.
It doesn't have, like, the brush detail fade on it.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the shape of the letters is very similar.
Yeah.
It's a little less curvy than papyrus. Papyrus has slightly more, like, the C's have more of a curl on the ends, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
talking about fonts.
I'm going to talk about things I did this week that are not font related.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you consider me a font of knowledge.
We don't film.
Fuck off. So anyway, over the weekend I became a boiler repair person.
So
the house that I'm renting, I've talked about how amazing my landlord is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely on top of shit. I say there's an issue, he's there in 5 minutes. It helps that he lives in my backyard, basically.
In a tent
in my backyard. My landlord went on vacation for a week.
Oh, God.
How dare he?
And then my house started having issues. there has been an issue with the boiler. So the boiler is a 2-for-1. It does the hot water for the taps, and it does the radiant heating in the house.
Yeah.
And there is a temperature gauge thing that is supposed to be connected to the thermostat. For setting the temperature, and sometimes that happy little valve, or the reader, one of the two, does not work properly, and it just starts churning out heat.
Oh, shit.
Which, in Minnesota, I would rather it started churning out heat than not churning out any heat.
Right.
Because we have windows.
Right. Yeah.
Like, during this time period, and so, like, it was kind of manageable, but yeah, It's been doing this a little bit more and more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, maybe if I wait, it'll just fix itself. It did not. So I messaged the landlord, and I was like, hey, you know that thing that the boiler does? It's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way I might be able to fix this while you're out of town? And he was like, actually, yeah, you probably can.
Mm-hmm. There's a help article.
He didn't say, don't let Joe touch it.
Oh, shit.
But, like, that's what I inferred. He probably meant, like, no, you, in and of yourself, are a capable human being.
Yeah,
so
you
probably can do this.
Yeah.
Also, your boiler hates Asians.
God. Well, here's the fun thing. Side tangent, the boiler was produced by a company of the name Zoller.
Well, oh,
it is not.
Shit.
Here's the thing: it is not the same spelling as my maiden name.
Sure, no, it came through Ellis Island and got changed.
Yeah,
yep.
Well, actually, we changed ours specifically so that we could get to Ellis Island.
They changed theirs from Boiler to Zoller. And that's
yeah. Last name used to be Smith, but we thought Zoller would get us in better. no.
We're tired of being in the middle of the alphabet.
No, so a lot of, you'll the way we spell it in my family is very distinctive to our family unit. The three brothers, my grandpa and his brothers, changed it. So you'll see Zoller spelled a lot of different ways because that. Z-A-H-L-E-R is a variant of Zoller.
Zoller.
And possibly it's the most accurate spelling of Zoller as far as the old country. But
it's a little, it's a little more posh.
Zoller. Zoller.
Of the Pennsylvania Zollers.
Actually, they're one of the brothers that changed the spelling of the last name to Pennsylvania. So there are Pennsylvania Zollers.
I gotta stop being right when I make jokes. It's really freaking me out. Okay.
Anyway, so it's a Zoller brand 2-in-1 boiler. And I'm like, great, now my ancestors are fucking with me.
Even your boiler is bisexual, and
your boilers, your boilers, your ancestors are up there going, "Don't fuck this up, Jenna."
So, my landlord gave me specific instructions on how to jiggle the valve.
Where to
that's
tap.
What he called it. Because it is like some kind of weird sticking issue.
Yep.
I guess. So I was like, all right. So I went down there and I did the thing and I was like this and like sent a little video of what I was pushing on and it was like,
gotta jiggle it, fondle it a little bit.
Not that one, the other
tickle.
One. And I was like, okay, did I break anything? He's like, nope, or I wouldn't have told you to do it. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fair.
So then I did it and I managed to fix it. But here's the thing is that I had plans for this weekend to work on a specific project and get some stuff done with it. And I made very little headway because my house was either way too hot or way too cold. Over the course of the weekend. Like, anywhere from 60 degrees to 85 degrees. And I know salsa would have been fine in 60 degrees, but I was not. I just wanted to hide under the covers and take a nappy nap. And then when it was 85, I wanted to hide on top of the covers and take a nappy nap. Like, I just, it was hard for me to get
sounds
any
like you just want an excuse for a nap.
I just fucking take a nap when I want a nap.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, it was hard for me to function over the course of the weekend because of all of that. So, like, there's a part of me that's upset with myself for not making the progress I wanted to make. And I'm like, I would never do this to a team. If the servers went down, I would not be mad at my developers for not getting stuff done.
Right?
Like, don't do this to yourself, Jenna. But I'm still mad at myself.
You can know something in your head, but not feel it in your
heart. I acknowledge the hypocrisy. Like, I get it.
You just choose to ignore it.
But that's not, the feelings of frustration are still there.
Yeah.
So, anyway. But yeah, so that was a good chunk of my weekend, was just trying to survive the ever changing climate inside of my
house. Your
house
going through menopause?
Yes. Is the... Joe made the same joke, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nice.
I was like, and
you're,
we're not even
more
synced
like
up.
Joe.
Like, well, if I was going through one of my hot flashes and it was 60 degrees in here, that'd be fine.
Oh, but yeah, no. I suppose. As long as you're, it's like
as long
noise
as their cycles
cancellation.
Are synced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. yep.
So, that's a joke for the two of us and Stefan.
But I did get out on Saturday and I helped a friend unpack. She had moved over Friday, Saturday, and so Saturday I showed up with a bunch of wine and a bunch of snacky snacks and organized her spice drawers.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, like, we went from there were a bunch of boxes all over the place to, like, a couple of boxes left. So it was me and a couple of my other friends showed up for our mutual friend and just got some stuff done. And it was lovely.
That does
it was
nice.
Absolutely delightful. Gossiping and joking and encouraging and all of the rest of that. So, so yeah, I did get something productive done with my weekend. It just, you know, wasn't to further my own goals. I was helpful for someone else.
Boo.
God,
I'm again.
Hell, you would be. So yeah, I mean that was basically my weekend in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I am hoping to make more progress on the project that has been delayed over the course of the next few days. And again, going into the next weekend, which is where I was already planning on working on this project. So, but soon, and then when it is done, I will talk more about it.
Excellent.
But I am not there yet.
My wife was out of town.
Yes.
Okay.
She and her sister went to D.C., spent a few days looking around D.C., going to the museums and stuff, and then they went and visited their grandfather in Philadelphia, not Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, outside of...
with the Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
With Jesus Christ.
Well, the Pennsylvania Sirlings, is the case, maybe. But yeah, no, I mean, they don't get to see their grandpa that often, so the two of them were just like, let's go to Pennsylvania, and while we're at it, we'll go spend a couple days in D.C.
Nice.
So they did that, which meant I was home with the kids, which meant I took the opportunity to show the kids some movies. It was good.
Were any of them old comedies?
It was good until it wasn't.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
We started.
Did you forget about the Castle Anthrax and Monty Python?
No.
I did that one with Jessa and.
Wow.
I think the kids wouldn't have even noticed that one.
No.
No, we started with Kung Fu movies.
Okay.
Okay.
It was like, oh, okay, what's a good, you know, good kung fu movie to start the kids out with?
Okay.
Drunken Master.
Absolutely. Oh, excellent. Good choice. Yes.
Absolutely, Drunken Master. Mm-hmm. They loved it. Absolutely loved it. They wanted to watch the second one, but the second one I had to pay for, and I was like, I'm not paying for it.
I'm not that drunken. Yeah.
But no, they really enjoyed it. You know, it's just like, you have to learn about movies with bad dubs and, you know, where... the whole plot is just a loose excuse between fights. You know?
It's like porn.
Yeah. It's like John Wick.
Exactly.
Functionally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We went different places, but same idea.
Yeah.
So they absolutely loved it. Next night, they're like, okay, what are we going to do now? And I was like, okay, I'm going to show you my favorite kung fu movie.
Mm-hmm.
36th Chamber of Shaolin.
Oh.
I love this kung fu movie.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's fantastic.
Either.
Okay.
Dude, his father owns, you know, this, you know, the Manchus are coming in and taking over beating down the people, and like his teacher is like beaten and killed by the Manchus, and so goes on the run and he goes to Shaolin to learn how to fight back.
Okay.
And like three-fourths of the movie is him training in Shaolin.
All right.
Which is amazing. And the 36 chambers there's 35 chambers of Kung Fu at Shaolin Temple. And each one is like, he starts in one chamber and he does that until he's mastered that chamber. And then he goes to the next chamber and until he masters that one, until he goes through and he masters all of the different kung fu. And then he goes out and he beats up the main troop.
Okay. Huh.
But we didn't get that far because the Manchus oppressing the people and killing the teacher was too much for them.
Oh.
Okay.
Which.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, again, that's the part of the movie that I generally ignore.
Right.
So I was just like, oh, okay, I kind of forgot that was even a thing. But they're just like, we're not. This is too violent. We're. I was like, okay. Okay. So fine. Okay. We're less than 20 minutes into this film. Scratch that. We're going to watch Miracle. So we watch Miracle.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Loved that one. Awesome. We're back on track.
Great.
Cool. Next night, what are we going to watch? How about another genre that you should get, eventually learn about? Sword and sorcery.
Ooh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Go on.
They were like, so it's like D&D. And I was like, yeah, it's a lot like D&D. So oh, we're going to have, you know, it's going to be, you know, fighting and you're going to have different wizards and swords and it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. And they're like, cool. Mm-hmm. So I was like, Beastmaster.
I knew it.
Shit.
As soon as you were like, I was like, oh, shit.
It's Beastmaster.
Right.
When I was a kid, I watched every time I was homesick. I watch Beastmaster.
Right.
You're sick on the couch, Beastmaster's on, you're going to watch Beastmaster. So we watch Beastmaster.
Oh my god.
And the kids loved it.
Okay.
Up until ferret dies.
Right.
Oh god.
And there was wailing.
Yeah.
And weeping and tears and...
Oh my god.
My daughter had taken to calling them ferritos. And when the ferret dies, she's just ferrito! Ferrito! Both kids are crying.
Oh yeah.
The one cries, gets into it, which causes the other one to go. They start to sniffle down and then the one starts wailing and that gets the other one wailing. And then I was just like, yeah, but okay, but at the end there's like the baby ferrets. And they're like, okay, look, there's a baby ferret. And they're like, oh, they're so cute, but I'm still sad. Right. I'm like, no, that was supposed to be the redeeming moment.
It's a circle of life.
It's fucking Artax all over again.
I realized then that my kids are a lot more sensitive than I was at that age. Because, when I was that age, it was just like, oh, yeah, that sucks, but wizards and yay, swords. Yeah.
You also grew up on a farm.
Also that.
Okay, sure.
Being around dead animals growing up and, having... participated in their slaughter but sure. Anyway, yeah, no, so it like I said, it was a roller coaster.
Wow. Yeah.
On the one hand it was like new genres of movies, and on the other hand it was like we gotta be very 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 careful about which ones. We gotta do kung fu movies that are comedies with not too much violence.
Yeah.
And we've gotta do sword and sorcery without any animal deaths.
I mean, I kinda get that. Mm-hmm. Like, animal death. It was death. I mean, oh god. Have they seen Never Ending Story?
Jesus Christ.
I don't remember
if
they have or not. I think we have not, just because of our text.
The whole rock monster speech, too.
They look like big, strong hands. Oh,
the art text thing never did for me, but the big, strong hands, both. That always ripped me up.
Well, because, like, we had horses.
Mm. Yeah.
Just the worst. Yep. And then. And then also, these look like big, strong...
Yep.
Just the... Oh, fuck. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's what I did, is I traumatized the shit out of my kids.
Well, we knew it was going to happen.
And it was good.
The betting
Frankly,
pool
I thought it was going to happen sooner
have,
than today,
yeah,
so...
I didn't have movies in the betting pool, but...
And then, after the kids went to bed, I started going down the rabbit hole of the shitty, like... Sword and sorcery.
Oh my god.
Late 70s, early 80s movies. And it was just like
the cave dwellers.
Yeah, like I watched Sheena.
Okay.
And it was just like, oh, this is ridiculous. And then I went to, it was Barbarian Queens.
haven't seen that, but it sounds great.
Yeah, you know, their village is completely slaughtered by the bad guy, and the sword-wielding women go and gotta kill the guys and get her. It was on her wedding day, and so she's got to go get her fiancé back, and she rescues him.
This seems good. Yep. Yeah,
and like it's ridiculous. It's terrible swordplay and awful special effects wizardry, and all of them are just an excuse to get Tanya Roberts' tits out for a while.
Right. Yeah.
And it's ridiculous, and I loved them.
Yeah,
it was dumb.
Quest of the Delta Knights was the big one for me.
Yeah.
So my aunt worked in a video store, and so we would get suitcases full of screening copies that were no longer valid.
Yep.
Okay.
So that message at the bottom: if you ever receive them, we got a lot of that, but. Yeah, Quest of the Delta Knights was one of the ones that we received, which is like a very kid-friendly sword and sorcery, but it's just nerd wish fulfillment.
Yeah,
whole time, because it's all about like solving the puzzle. It's functionally the Da Vinci Code.
Oh yeah.
But much but closer sorcery. To the time of Da Vinci. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, there's definitely ones that I think would be better for the kids. Like, I think Dragon Slayers might be closer to what they were looking at for them.
Sure.
But yeah, like I said, it was just like I started going down this, and they're all like 70-minute long movies that are like I said, just they're loose excuses to get women naked for the first 5 minutes.
Somebody had a handy cam and a forest.
Yeah.
and about 3 yards of fur that could be cut into bikinis. Yep. And that's a dozen movies.
But it's always like here's you know, 5 minutes in, here's the scene with the boobs for the guys that just want to crank one out and then they can leave. And then the rest of the movie, no tits. So that people that actually want to see the movie have a movie to see. And they're just ridiculous and over the top and campy, and I love them.
Yes, absolutely.
they were just stupid and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucking love 80s movies of any variety, but the Sword and Sorcery era is special. It's special to me.
It really is, because everybody knew that this was not gonna win an Oscar.
Right.
Yeah. Like, this was not...
We're not
serious.
Making a high art.
This is not serious. Mm-hmm. This is we're just doing this for a paycheck. Just
right.
Here's a extremely heavy and unwieldy sword with lots of things that can get caught on everything, and
somehow magically not getting caught on things. That was the true sorcery.
We've wrapped a modern hang glider in a couple of studio vines, and we're pretending like that's fine.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even with Beastmaster, they've got the, like, the skin bat things that liquidize people. Mm. And the kids were like, that's gross, but okay, but man, the ferret.
Oh,
that was...
Yeah, I get it.
Like, you get
what
attached.
What is going on?
So anyway, these movies were full of character death. Oh,
it was so much
but, shit. Yeah,
that's what I did.
James?
What about you, James?
So, household, the Rookery, decided to go on two big adventures. I had not been to IKEA on a Saturday, and I'm going to say don't do that. It took us 6 hours for a shopping trip.
Oh, God.
That, we were all totally burned out and fucking exhausted.
Unless you're
going
to put on a lion costume and hide in the wardrobes. Then go on a Saturday.
That's pretty good.
It's, I feel like going on a Saturday is just the ultimate test of your relationship, and if you can survive that, you're set for life.
Yeah. But I'm going to say probably narrowly. Like, we were all real fucking stressed out. And then we just barely managed to get everything fit into the SUV that we were driving. Stressful.
Yeah.
Stressful. And then Sunday, we went to Moa in order to meet up with some folks, and then...
No. What was that?
Salsa? You went to Moa.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, at all. But also, especially on the weekend. But
why would you do that?
It was weirdly less stressful. But it was also, like, kind of fucking exhausting. We had a good time. And then we went to a friend's house. Somebody that we know is moving.
I'm sorry. Can I throw in a weird fact that I learned?
Yes.
The Mall of America is... The attraction in the United States of America that sees the most tourists and the most people.
That is super weird.
Like, I thought it would be a Disney of some sort.
I was just about to say, more than fucking Disney World?
More than Disney. Right.
Why?
Because it's like Walt Drug with a theme park in it.
So is Walt Disney World.
It sees more traffic than any other attraction in the United States. They provided numbers.
But then again, you're not bringing your iPhone to Disney for repair.
Like, there is a functionality as well as the tourist portion of that, I suppose. See
it. Yeah. Especially during the holidays. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got game stores and clothing and all kinds of shit.
So does Disney World.
Right.
Yeah. But that one's a little more out of the way.
No, I learned that recently, and I was that's fucking bizarre.
That is fucking wild.
That is really thought it would be Disney World.
Yeah?
Wrong.
But,
you're wrong.
That's just...
Look, I know those numbers are accurate, but you're still wrong.
It's not okay.
Look, it can be correct and be wrong at the same time.
It, you're accurate, but that's just morally
accurate
wrong.
Yeah. One of the things that we did while we were there was to check out a possible venue for the wedding extravaganza that Jax and I want to have.
At the mall?
At the mall.
What?
Yes. Yeah. There is a bar and computer gaming and console gaming center on the fourth floor.
Yes, I'm familiar with what you speak of.
That is also like a... an event space.
I know. Mm-hmm. And you could also go anywhere else.
Right. But they're willing to let us borrow it for free.
Oh, well.
I mean, that's...
Free is a good price.
That is a good price, I will admit.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, it could be a really shitty beer, but if it's a free beer, maybe you drink it.
I would.
I don't.
I don't drink it. I don't drink the free beer, and I don't go to the free venue at the mall.
Many reasons that salsa is a snob. Yeah. The hoity-toity salsa.
Oh, yeah. I don't drink shitty beer, and I don't suffer myself to go to the Mall of America unless I fucking have to.
Well, so...
last time I went there, I went to see my daughter at work, so... Yeah.
We were hoping to have the time to do that, to go and do an escape room, and just did not get the fucking opportunity because the way... timing shook
that's
out.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So after we did a bunch of shopping and we're, happy but tired little potatoes, we were crammed into that same SUV, emptied, and drove over to a friend's house who was getting rid of a bunch of stuff to grab our bicycles.
Oh, sure.
And a vent hood for the craft room.
Okay.
Like a range hood that could be vented to the outside.
I heard you vent hood.
Yeah.
And it was like a hood that goes over you when you're playing like event things.
Yeah. So we grabbed a bunch of that stuff, and it turns out that that vehicle is not sized for a wheelchair, three bicycles, an oven range hood.
An event
flexible
hood.
Ducting and a couple of other things, just not designed for it. So one of us took a lift home, and the other two of us drove an extremely cramped SUV home.
Well, if one was taking a lift, why wouldn't two take a lift and the third just drive and it'd be like a little more space?
Yeah, would it cost the same?
Right.
Don't know. Wow.
That's a very good question, Jenna.
Right?
Why didn't you do better, James?
Look at me. I'm a project manager. I know how to allocate things. More sense.
Oh. So, because then nobody had to be alone.
Except the person in the lift.
Well, they have a driver.
Yeah.
So they're not technically alone. Right. There's another person there.
I mean,
is it an excuse? Yes. Does it work? Yes.
Are they a person?
So it's...
Wow.
It's not parsecs.
Wow. You're a part of the problem, Salsa.
Yes.
It's not parsecs as a measure of time. It's 12 parsecs as an amount of distance around, for example, a gravitationally heavy feature.
Yeah, the distance I would go to not talk to a driver in a lift.
Yeah. So, we did all of that, and then we were just fucking... inside out after that. Those bikes are still in that SUV.
They can't get them out.
They just live there now.
It's gonna be a minute before we muster the courage to do that.
They just live there now and they can't get them out.
Mm-hmm.
if it were any closer, I would have offered to take one of the bikes as transportation home and let them drive. Mm. It was... We got home and we were so tired we forgot to eat dinner.
Oh man, I've done that.
And the three of us just sat in the downstairs lounge of the house and played video games for 10 hours.
Oh,
something like that until like 4 a.m. Just completely burned out and and that kind of thing. And it reminded me that during my last week of work, I was helping somebody move out. Partner Rachel was helping partner Rachel like finish the move out and all of that kind of stuff. And I was also on a meeting, and she made a comment about some thought that I had, or was asking like, "What do you think about this?" And I was like, "Nothing. I have no thoughts. I am out of brain minutes for the month. I have used my allotted number of minutes, and I will not get more until the next."
Mm-hmm.
Pay cycle goes through.
Right.
And she was like, oh, okay. So, like, the first of the month? And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I get charged on the first Friday of the month, so it won't be until the following Monday that I actually get more. And a coworker was listening to this and said, so does that mean that you have no thoughts, or are you just throttled? Do you just have thoughts, but much more slowly? Now, and I was like, probably that one. I'll have to get back to you. But yeah, it's I'm not having no thoughts. I'm just, my service is throttled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, should we take a break?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
All right, we're going to do that. Write us in. Tell us what you think of that all.
All of it.
I'm
all
glad I'm not the only one on this plan.
How many stars was that in?
Yeah. I didn't realize that we were on the same pool of minutes. That's...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I just stopped thinking a long time ago.
Okay.
Mm. We're going to be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ah, oh, I'm so tired of your goddamn white male privilege bullshit.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James!
And I'm disgruntled.
You always seem surprised by these, James.
I always am. Look, Salsa, there's a reason that I love going to magic shows.
He knows how the tricks work, and he's still surprised that it works every time.
Oh, my God, James. You're a special someone.
Sometimes it's surprise, sometimes it's delight, and sometimes it's delighted surprise, okay? That's just... like...
Anyway.
And we're back.
So, I actually should apologize to James. I was bullying him there just a little bit.
Oh. I don't...
Sweet seg, huh?
Sweet seg.
That was a good seg. I'm going to come back to that point later, okay. But I want to hear these things first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No, anyway, no, James. Yeah. James suggested that we were. Jenna, so just somebody. So we talk. We're going to talk about bullying.
Some onions and garlic suggested.
Yeah, we're going to talk about bullying and times where we, the nerdy ones, were the bullies.
We're the bullies.
Well, I think it can sometimes be very difficult. I remember that there was a time Penny Arcade got in a huge shitload of trouble with a bunch of different communities.
Mm-hmm.
For one of the two creators just was completely ignorant of two different things and, like, doubled down on something and then got an education on it and changed and came back and apologized and said, as someone who exists within a community who is continually the focus of bullying and having grown up in a tiny community and having been beaten up and, you know, whatever. Like, it is hard to imagine myself as being the oppressor, but I very definitely was, and I am deeply sorry, and I'm changing now.
Okay, so is there a difference then, and this was something I thought we'd maybe get to later, but is there a difference between being a bully and just being ignorant of something?
I think you can accidentally bully someone.
Yes, I think. Are you ignorant because you are just blissfully unaware, or are you ignorant because you don't pay?
Because, like, if I accidentally step on somebody's foot, I don't think I'm being a bully. I think I accidentally stepped on somebody's foot, and if I say sorry and move on. And, you know, whatever. But I feel like bullying specifically has to have some kind of a malicious intent. Much like someone in a relationship can be harmful, but that might not be abuse.
I think that...
Right? Like,
so I have an example.
I think that stepping on someone's toes is an accident.
Yeah.
Right.
Tromping through a tight space with combat boots without paying attention to where you're stepping is not.
I see. I feel like that's a different thing.
But it's not bullying.
It's not malicious, but there is definitely mitigating that could be done. So,
no, it's definitely harmful and definitely a whole bunch of other, like, you could do better as a human being.
BYBB, be you, but better. Judge John Hodgman, who I bring up constantly, says that people can accidentally bully because they think that everyone is having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They think everyone is in on the joke, but they don't realize that someone is hurting.
That is a separate thing that I was going to get to later.
Okay. Right? Yeah, but the maxim there is, if it is fun if everyone is having fun.
Yeah.
Right, but I don't think hurting someone is necessarily bullying. For me, bullying generally has some sort of intent, and part of that intent might be a defense mechanism. Where you're being aggressive in a defensiveness attitude. Much like, you know, you step on somebody's foot and you say you're sorry, that's not bullying. You step on somebody's foot and then you say, they're like, "Oh, you stepped on my foot." And you say, "No, I didn't." Or, "You shouldn't be hurt by that." Or, "I barely grazed you," or anything like. Now you're denying their reality. And that starts to become, when you were talking about doubling down, that starts to become harmful behavior to try to put somebody in a place. And that, to me, is where bullying really comes in, is you are putting somebody in a place.
The hierarchy. Establishing establishing a hierarchy, bullying as a means of
control.
Yeah,
really.
Sure. Yeah. For power, bullying for power. And for me, like, my example of realizing that I was bullying somebody because someone was like, "Hey, you are being a bully," and not like in a fun way. Like, you are bullying someone. Right. I know that you don't intend that.
Right.
But
here we are.
Here's what happens. Yeah. So a friend of mine was staying with Kathy and I when we were together.
Sure.
And he had a habit of not pulling up his pants and always, like, the top of his underwear was visible. Mm. And so I gave him, like, an atomic wedgie. And sure. I ended up giving him, like, two atomic a wedgie. Like, not even in, like, a your underwear is sticking out, ha 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 kind of way, but, like, in a I have ripped your underwear kind of way. And that goes beyond horseplay into bullying and, like, the far side of bullying. This is, like, you are physical doing assault. Damage. Yeah.
Right. Well, okay, so here's the question.
Yeah.
How do you define that as bullying? I'm not saying you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I want to know why you look at that situation.
Sure.
Where you were not intending to cause harm.
I was intending horseplay.
You were intending horseplay.
Yeah.
And somebody was harmed by your actions. Mm-hmm. There's no negating that. How does that constitute bullying for you?
I'm...
Just an act that a bully has done unto you?
No.
Okay, cool.
And this is why I think that it can be accidental bullying, is that I was looking to do something that I thought would be fun that the other person super did not enjoy.
Right.
And that may have caused harm.
Right.
Like, I was lucky that he was not physically harmed.
Right.
By being picked up by his underwear. And somebody said, like, think...
So think, it was harmful.
But it's not consensual. The other person, like, does not want that.
Right.
And...
So it's still harmful.
Right. Yes.
What aspect of it makes it... not just a harmful act, but a bullying harmful act.
Because I'm exerting myself physically against another person and using my size and strength.
So you were exerting an amount of control over this person with your physicality.
And I made this person feel small and helpless as a result. Now, he's not that much smaller than me.
Sure.
But... I'm still, like, using my size and strength in a way that makes him hurt emotionally and potentially physically, and that ruined a pair of his underwear.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, for me, the bullying aspect of it is the size and making the other person feel small or inferior as a sense of status and or control. Like... So it might be, I can kind of see accidental bullying in accidentally making somebody else feel small. I still, for me, look at bullying as more of an intentional control thing.
Sure,
thing.
Sure.
But I'm not going to negate the possibility of that being a definition for you, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would use it, but have at.
What, I'm interested in... how you would codify it? How would you classify that?
So,
other than bullying, because I understand and I'm interested.
I mean, at the very least, it is a grave overstepping.
Yes.
let's go ahead and start with something we can all agree on.
Yeah.
No. And definitely harmful. I think that overly rough horseplay is not necessarily bullying. I think you can cause somebody harm with overly rough horseplay, which sometimes in the horseplay, the playing around aspect demands a certain, like, strive for domination, like King of the Hill or whatever, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so you're playing a game. And so, like, the horseplay, if... You think the other person is participating in the play.
Right.
If you have reason to believe the other person is participating in the play, that doesn't necessarily constitute a bullying situation. I don't know if I do or don't actually consider your particular story bullying. It was definitely harmful. It was definitely non-consensual play. Mm-hmm. But, like, there are times when there are forms of play that we have with people where we are playing games of one person being more in control, one person not.
Sure.
BDSM.
Sure.
Right? Like, things where engaging in the play can be consensual.
Yeah.
And then you may overstep in that play.
Right.
And cause accidental harm. Mm-hmm. The intent was not to harm. It was to engage in a specific type of play, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why the importance of acknowledging that hurt is mm-hmm. such a big deal. Or in the case of, like, BDSM, aftercare or things yeah. like that.
Right.
Where it's important to acknowledge the humanity of the other person. I think the part where it becomes bullying or abusive is when you negate the other person's reality. And within your story, you may have thought this person was playing with you. I don't know if you did or not.
Right.
But when there was kind of a negation of their consent into that play,
mm-hmm.
Like if they had said, no. Like,
right.
And there had been more subtle, like there can always mm-hmm. be gray area. But like, yeah. When you start to negate that other person is when it becomes more of an abuse or a bullying or whatever.
Sure.
Well, anything can be harmful.
We had but engaged being harmful in consensual, harmful, like slap, like where you take turns slapping the other person's stomach sure. or shoulders or back yeah. or something mm-hmm. as hard as you possibly can.
Sure.
But, and lots of things like that. So something in my brain was like, this will be fine. I'm just
right.
picking him up by his underwear. And mm-hmm. there was just something in that moment where it was not fine.
Yep.
So
right.
much closer to your example with BDSM, where you think that you are engaging in the type of activity that the other person wants within a boundary that is acceptable for
right.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was definitely something that I thought would be okay, but then the exertion mm-hmm. of size and strength
sure.
over that other person, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. if not bullying, just being a dickhead.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. No, you can be a dickhead without being a
yeah.
bully.
Yeah.
But I think, like, a lot of times when we talk about, like, we tend to throw terms like bully or abuser or things like that around.
Mm.
And there are some people that feel if they come into any form of harm, they're now being bullied or abused. And I
right.
really, as a person who has gone mm-hmm. through so fucking much of that, it's very important to mm-hmm. me to make these kinds of lines clear.
Yeah.
Right?
Similar to the misuse or overuse of mental health terms like OCD
yep, exactly.
or gaslighting or things like that.
It's also incredibly important to me because... Mm-hmm. Once you start slapping that on everything, slapping. Once you start whacking
just
that label on mm-hmm. everything, it makes it not only harder to figure out where the harm actually is or how many levels of harm there actually are, but it also makes it harder for people to apologize.
Yeah.
It makes it harder for somebody to be like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're just like, you're being abusive. No, I'm not. Like, it just automatic defensiveness
gotcha.
Or mm-hmm, you're yeah. lying to me or you're gaslighting. Like, whatever. Like, it can become a situation where the other person is understandably defensive because, no, they're really not doing that. It was this type of a situation instead. And knowing how to address those types of situations is very important. Figuring out what it is that caused the harm and not just going to the extreme,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
So, yeah. Anyway, Salsa, hi.
Hi.
How are you, bud?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
James and I just kind of started going.
Yeah. No, I mean, now you've got me second guessing whether or not what I did was bullying, but it absolutely was.
All right.
No, so my story goes back many years, and I've talked about it on this podcast before. My first year doing Convergence for Fearless.
Mm-hmm.
Convergence is not my scene.
Fair.
I don't.
I'm so offended.
Yeah, no, I just.
full of people? And
It's not even the full of people.
Beers you didn't choose?
It's not even the full of people. It's just, it is a scene that is not for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I am... too many nerds.
oh my God! Jesus
fucking Christ!
Exactly.
Rude.
No.
How dare there be nerds at a nerd convention?
Exactly.
Too many nerds.
But no, seriously. In all seriousness, though, I was hanging out with former host of the show, Matt, and we went to see Pedantic Eric over at Cinema Rex.
Yeah. Mm.
And we show up, and he's outside of Cinema Rex making posters.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his markers, and he's making very neat, like, lines and filling in. And so I walk up, and I bump the marker.
Jesus Christ.
Asshole.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, the one person whose nickname would tell you.
It was a guy I knew, somebody who is a vilifier, somebody that we have given each other all amounts of shit to. It was a similar situation. It was like, this will be a funny thing that I do.
Like you slapping the can out of the air when I went to toss it in the... Yeah,
it was,
I
was...
God damn it, that was...
It was very much not an okay thing. Like, he was not pleased at all. He was like, why the fuck would you do that?
Yeah,
you know, and as soon as his reaction happened, I was like, "Oh shit, I'm sorry."
I didn't realize
that is not the reaction I was expecting. Yeah. Oh, you dick, you know,
right?
Get the fuck, you asshole, come here. Let's go talk and things. And that was not the reaction I got.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, it was in the grand scale of things, is that an atomic wedgie? No, it's not. But it was that one of those moments where I was just like, "Oh shit." I just did the thing that I hated it when people did to me in school.
Yeah.
And
when James does it to me at lunch. Yeah.
Yeah, I... you know, but
I feel like that is, in some ways, a form of consensual play.
Yeah.
When her salsa just gave up.
But honestly, it was this weird... And this is going to not probably paint me in a very good picture, but in that moment, I kind of understood the asshole jocks picking on the nerds.
Right.
Because it was just like, I was surrounded by people who were way more into things than I was comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I felt like I needed to lash out.
Right.
And it
didn't feel
good.
Yeah. So that was a way for you to exert some form of control.
Absolutely. Yeah. I in that moment was the high school jock.
Yeah.
And like it was just for a moment, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But it happened, and it was this weird moment of just like, why? I don't even know what came over me.
Right.
You know?
Right. I've talked about it before. Charles' best friend, former landlord, was walking past his now wife in the hallway where they had just started dating, and they were walking past each other in the hallway at work, and she was carrying a water bottle and a couple of other things, and he just smacked the water bottle out of her hands. And she was deeply affected by it and was like, why would you do that? What did I do? And he was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know. I was suddenly
an impulse happened and you acted on it.
Well, it's the imp of the perverse. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, some fucking idea gets into your head and usually you're able to go, no.
No. Yeah.
But yeah. So that moment where, and I had that same like, oh shit, I'm the jock.
Yeah. What have I just done?
Yeah.
Why have I just done?
Why did I do that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to give myself credit and pat myself on the back and be like, look how much better I am than they, because as soon as it happened, I went, I don't like that. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Oh, God. But I feel bad about everything. Yeah.
But it was just like, again, in that moment, I was just like, that's the thing I wanted to do, was I wanted to lash out at him and
just bully
do
a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to be that jerk for just that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was,
yeah. Okay, so weird. My story.
Okay.
This was in school.
Mm.
It was a gym class type situation, and there was one individual being picked on.
Mm.
And They were saying all sorts of mean things to this poor girl. And in my brain, because I grew up with bullying my entire life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I literally had no friends in elementary school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And only a few in middle school, let's be real. But I knew I wanted to stop it. But the part for me where it becomes more bullying is that I also wanted to save face and maintain status.
Yeah.
So the exact phrase that I said, which still to this day just haunts me, is, oh God, you did what? Is, hey, you guys, don't you know you shouldn't pick on dumb animals? Trying to stop them while saving status.
Yeah.
Oh God, it still to this day just hits me in the gut that those are words that I said out loud at the age of 13. Like, and yeah, 13's a rough age, but still, like, that is definitely not an okay thing that happened.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a form of bullying. Even though, like, in my brain, I was trying to help.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
This will make it better.
Also, Australia thinks it has the market cornered on venomous creatures, but 13-year-olds are everywhere.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
So.
Ooh. Well, and that's the thing, though, too, is that, like, yeah, I thought I was trying to help, and they did stop. So I
succeeded.
Yes,
yay!
No. Only in the most rose-colored of glasses I could wear to look at myself in the mirror was that helpful.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad. And like I do remember I did apologize to her like later. It wasn't for like I couldn't even face her for the longest time. I was like, "Oh God, oh God."
Fuck.
I did apologize, and she was like, I actually forgot all about that. Well, now I'm mad at you.
Oh, you just and fucking was like, picked open an old
what?
Wound.
And she's like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. But, I mean, she gave back to me a little bit, so that was great. But, like, still, to this day, I can't believe I said those things out loud. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that one was not okay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, a lot of people will joke around with me being aggressive or vicious or violent or other things like that. And I'm really not overall. I definitely have those abilities, like, as we can see from the past few minutes of conversation.
You play one on TV.
Yeah.
But I could be those things, but I also like try to recognize that no, that's not okay, and only use your powers for good. And that was definitely a formative fucking moment for me in, oh shit, you can be this person, maybe don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that is definitely, to my mind, a case of bullying and not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's interesting to me, like, and I think if we all have these moments, it kind of helps understand the mindset of somebody who has done those things.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
That again doesn't make any of it okay one way or the other.
No.
But if there is a thing that you can take from that experience and use it to be a better person, help somebody else be a better person. I think there are a lot of people that do harmful things that just don't understand that it's actively harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've definitely taken a joke too far. And I don't necessarily consider that bullying because I'm not looking for controller status. I'm just playing. We're roughhousing and I roughhouse too hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's still important to recognize that. But like, you know, having been in the, seen how the mind works with that, you can help somebody else understand when they're over roughhousing or they are being just straight up bullying or shitty or whatever else. Especially with defensiveness, I swear to God, I think defensiveness is like 75% of all of the harm done to the world.
Mm.
Like, you know, when people get defensive, they lash out.
Yep.
Mm. It's a fight or flight kind of a thing, really.
Well, and I've got two kids right now at that age where learning that line is what's happening. Like, that is what...
And
I mean,
God, I'm
part
sure.
Part of it is just being siblings, you know?
Sure.
But, like, my son will frustrate his sister to the point where she's screaming at him, stop,
I'm not having a good time. Mm-hmm. And he just won't, because he's a little brother.
Right.
But, and he wants to play.
But, you know, we have to have those conversations with him, you know, about if you're the only one laughing, you're the bully.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you don't want to be a bully, do you? And he's like, no, but he gets so wound up in
right.
the play that he can't, it just simply does not register in his mind that the other person is not having a good time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so is he trying to be a bully? Absolutely not. He's just so wound up in the game, but it's the effect it has on her is the same nonetheless.
Right.
You know? And so trying to teach that to the kids is, well, I mean, it's like trying to teach feelings to an 8-year-old.
Right. Basically.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. Sure. Way more understandable at this age than it would be 10 years from now.
Yeah. Well, and especially, like, when it comes to emotional bullying and physical bullying, one of the dangers is that kids often do not realize their own strength,
mm-hmm.
especially, like, as they hit young adulthood, physically they are capable of doing serious damage, where they're just not used to having that kind of power.
Sure.
But then emotionally, like, I remember coming back to a classroom and finding one of my classmates crying because I had called her stupid. And the teacher was like, hey, did you call Sarah stupid? And I hadn't meant it any kind of lasting and sticking
forgot.
Way.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, can I apologize? I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. You're not stupid. I just said it. I'm sorry. And like later we were friends again, but.
Okay.
Yeah. Not understanding it feels like it's very contextual because in another moment, like when pedantic Eric hadn't been, you know, awake for already probably 18, 20 hours and wasn't like desperately trying not to fuck these signs up and hadn't put a bunch of time and love everything into
right.
it. Like it maybe it would have been fucking funny. Yeah. But and similarly, like I said, I was in slap fights with this other kid pretty often and joyfully.
Yeah.
But in that context, afterward, I just apologized profusely. I bought him 2 pair of underwear. I fixed the underwear that I ripped. Like, I sewed them back together as a symbol of our friendship being repaired.
I was about to say, like, a literal manifestation of repair.
Such a fucking James thing to do.
It really
is.
God.
But, like, being...
I feel like bullying you right now because of that.
And you are. But that's, you know... But yeah, like, Jenna, you were talking about how you have a reputation as being, like, tough and vicious.
Right.
And I know that I've got a very different reputation.
Well, James is just a big teddy bear.
You sewed his underwear.
But it is genuinely...
It is a warranted reputation.
Out of, you know... desperation not to not to be that person.
It's like the biggest guy in high school is always the gentle giant because he knows if he doesn't, he's going to hurt someone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a very big guy, but yeah, that applies to me.
But you also know that you can hurt someone. You've got stabby pointy bits.
Oh, yeah.
And also, just a vicious wit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I worked on it.
Yeah. But
I spent time and effort into that. But I mean, weirdly enough, like the reason why I think my brain works the way it does is because I spent so many years in vilification tennis. I can look at something and be like, okay, what's the meanest thing I could say about this?
There is,
right?
That show does wire your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you do learn how to find things for meanness and humor.
Yep.
And the goal is humor. Like, Well, the rule, so long as it's funny.
It has to be funny before it's anything else. Yeah.
But we're still, like, as vilifiers, you still look for that edge. You still look for that sharpness. You still look for that whatever. And so, yeah, like, no, I absolutely can be.
Yeah. Yeah, there, I mean, always, whenever a big disaster or something happens, it's like, when is too soon no longer too soon? And the answer is, there's no such thing as too soon for us.
No.
But
for some people.
But for vilifiers,
yes,
there is no too soon.
Yeah.
But is there funny enough?
Right.
It's not about is too soon. It is this
funny? Is it funny enough? Yeah.
Where did we...
I made a 35W bridge collapse joke the day after it happened. And the audience was rolling because it was funny.
And probably a form of catharsis.
And also probably a form of catharsis at that point. But it was only because it was funny.
Yeah.
And possibly one of the reasons why it was funny is because Viltan has always... well, not always, but at their best, has built an environment of...
Yes.
This is going to happen. This is the type of play we are engaging in.
Right.
If this is not your type of play, you may want to excuse yourself.
Yeah. Tim, like, Tim establishes the joking envelope hard.
By being here, you acknowledge that this is happening. He does it for like 5 minutes at the beginning of every show. Every fucking show, because that one time we didn't, there was a wedding at a feast hall.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That was a fun show.
I wasn't there, but man, I heard about it and I was like, oh, you didn't establish your environment, did you?
Well, and it's always that moment where, like, they're not laughing. Go further. And then go further and you're just like, they're not coming with us.
No.
Oh, no. Because there is... Because what we do has always been in the envelope, if people aren't there, we're like, we're not going far enough for them.
Right.
And this was the opposite of that, which we were not prepared for.
Well, I think there was also an assumption of built-in environment.
Yes, there was an assumption.
It was the built-in feast.
Right.
But
you thought people were there for that.
No. Nope.
Marketing did not get the memo on that one.
The subsequent Vill feasts corrected that
with one there in my memory. I think all three of us attended a Vill feast where the audience was with us and then suddenly no one.
And that happens. That will happen. But that is not because we didn't properly prep them.
I may have bowed out early so that somebody, I could get ready for a belly dance thing.
But that is because somebody went too far.
Right.
Yeah.
That wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Well, and then Tim was able to bring it back into the envelope by abusing that person verbally.
I know what happened. I know exactly.
Yep.
Anyway.
I do not. I must have missed it.
Oh, it was.
I literally may have been getting ready for my belly dance thing.
Entirely likely.
Anyway.
But yeah.
Dear listeners, weigh in. Tell us about bullying or... not bullying, or
how do you define bullying?
What is the difference between bullying and a defense mechanism? Just you have thoughts, I'm sure. Write them down and hit send on the Discord thing.
Stefan, finish driving first. Your wife and child need you. Okay, good.
Okay.
He's an adult. You don't need to talk down to him, James.
That's fair.
Don't bully him in making good choices.
That I fucking will do. Jesus Christ.
We'll be right back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Let's do a thing.
Can we?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a thing. Can we do a thing? I want to do a thing. I want to do a thing. Can we do a thing? I want to do the thing now. Can we do a thing, please?
No.
God damn it.
No, we can't. Greetings. I'm back in salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And now we're going to wait a little bit longer.
God damn it.
And now we'll go. It's time for a...
Fast Five.
Pause.
Fast Five.
Pause.
A Fast Five.
Fast Five.
That was the wrong button, Jenna. I thought you were better at this.
Bitch, that was exactly the right button.
I love that we do an entirely positive, wonderful segment about bullying, only to come back and harass the shit out of each other.
It's shared playtime.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Just Jen.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Guess who? It's Stefan Senpai!
Because he's the only one pulling his goddamn weight around here, James.
That includes us.
I was
all
about to say, it's certainly
not
us.
Just
yeah.
me. No, it no, definitely it's includes me, but it's not just
mostly
me.
You.
It's
mostly you.
Like, I'm, yeah. I'm a lot of dead weight, but I'm not the only dead weight.
Oh, you're not that fat, James.
Jenna can't help it. She's half the person I am, physically.
I'm confused.
Half my height, half my weight.
No, I understand that part.
Half your voting power.
What?
Half your wages.
Jesus Christ.
Hello, glass ceiling. How are you?
Stefan sends us opening thoughts. Opening thoughts.
Ooh.
I'm getting so tired of this.
Oh, my God. Other listeners.
Yeah.
Not for our sake, but for Stefan's
senpai's sake.
Stefan is doing
sweetheart.
The work here. All right. Question number one.
I hit the button.
Oh, sure you
no,
did.
No, I did.
Oh, sure
I
you did.
Did.
Oh,
fuck
come on,
you.
Jenna.
You saw me bring the box up
I
and
watched
everything.
You push.
Yeah,
stop
and I saw you miss push.
My thumb was right there, and I pushed down. I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. Do you see me pushing on it?
No.
You see me pushing.
I see you pushing a button.
Yeah.
It's the correct button.
But nothing's
it's
coming out,
Jenna.
It's
not the little light bulb. That's where it happens.
That's... There it is. Yeah. That's pushing the button.
But... It did not go.
Now it's just doing it.
Yeah, it seems to be working
damn.
Just fine. I don't know what problem you were having there.
Fuck.
I'm going to end
us
you.
She might
them.
Actually kill you. Oh, yeah. Us or them.
Yeah, let's talk about bullying some more. Because you remember how I said I could.
I wonder if this is like a... Yes. You have a trophy. We gave you a trophy.
It was in that moment that we realized we'd unleashed hell.
What was the question?
Us or them.
Us or them.
I wonder if this is like a Pink Floyd eclipse thing. The Dark Side of the Moon. Us and them is one of the... tracks on Dark Side of the Moon, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I
don't know.
Really okay. listened to it.
Oh, all right.
Same. I really don't like us versus them stuff. I'm like, we're all people.
I don't like us.
I'm going to say, well, okay, that's fair. Some days
us
I don't like us
assholes.
Much either. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Royal Us?
Them,
I mean,
was an old black and white horror movie.
It had so many Wilhelm screams in it. Yeah. It had like a fucking dozen.
Was Us a horror movie?
Us is a horror movie by Peele, Jordan Peele.
Yeah, so,
yes.
Okay. Okay, so is it the Jordan Peele horror movie, or is it the horror movie in black and white about the alien, the radioactive ants?
They're both about underground things, underground, like, hives.
I've never actually seen Us, so I'm going with them.
Yeah.
I haven't, I don't think I've seen either of these. But I do keep meaning to see Us, so I think I'll say Us.
I would just leave the movie Them on fucking repeat.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so terrible.
From that era of atomic everything. Every monster was just
radiation caused every superhero, a monkey to get big.
Every
radiation caused a lizard to get big. Radiation caused ants to get big.
Oh, we watched Jax's first Godzilla movie recently too. Oh, yeah. Fuck, it was great. Yeah, the 2014 one is weirdly very good. But yeah.
As a side note, I saw, like, in the theater, I think it was Trilon was playing the original Godzilla movie, and I wanted to see it with Kessen.
Oh, shit.
Which is
the best way to see that.
Fuck. Because he gave me the intro and the background on what was going on with That's Japan amazing. During the time of this, and pointed out certain symbolisms and everything.
Oh, shit,
yeah. Oh, if you ever have the opportunity.
I want to, yeah.
Fuck. That was I was busy that day, but I made time for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Either Kessen or Melissa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Like Melissa Karcher and Kessen, a conversation about like Mothra would just sit there and go
I'm just
fly on the wall.
Can I get you another coffee so that you continue this conversation?
Fuel this.
God damn. Yeah. An education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A real education? I feel like I've done this podcast before. That was a long time ago.
That was a good one.
It was
a real long time ago.
Anyway.
That was about 10 years
so I'm
ago,
going them.
Actually.
You're going...
I'll go them.
I said us, because that's the one I want to see more.
Cool. Question number two. Simple or complex?
Okay.
Oh, I'm very complex.
I'm simple.
I
don't want complexity.
I'm kind of a simple creature, surprising no one. But
right.
I love movies with... I don't like movies where the entire point of the movie is that there is a twist, but it's entirely obvious to me right away.
Right.
But that is not the movie's fault. That is just me not enjoying
it. Well, and sometimes it might be obvious right away, but the journey to get there is just so delightful that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't like when a twist is supposed to be a big reveal and it's just not. That's just disappointing.
Yeah, yeah.
That is bad sex.
Shitty twist
is
not good.
Yeah.
Right, like the end of Saw fucking sucks.
I never saw it. I don't like those kind of movies.
You didn't Saw?
Yeah. I never seen it.
Never seen Saw. Anyway, no, I'm going complex.
Yeah, no, I just want, if I'm going to watch a movie, I just want explosions and swords and wizards and boobs.
I want all of it. I like complex stuff, I like simple stuff, but I feel like I'm more into complexities.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, movies that are deep are not my thing.
Fair enough.
I just want a simple, straightforward, fun movie. I want movies to be fun. I go to movies to have fun.
Okay.
I don't want to go to a movie and think. I don't watch movies to think. I go to movies to have fun.
My definition entertainment of fun includes your definition of fun and others.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying me. I don't...
Sure. I am multifaceted in my areas of fun. One might even say... okay, shut up. Never mind. I'm done.
Sorry.
Question number three. Doors.
Oh.
Or Rams. No, it's not Rams.
God damn. It's a fucking door.
Well played.
Or it's corners.
Awesome. Doors and corners is the reminder to always sweep every part of the room when you are in some kind of combat simulation like paintball, airsoft, first-person shooters and things like that. And definitely if you are a soldier or something like that, doors and corners is a reminder to check all avenues of ingress, egress.
When when in Scooby-Doo cartoons, people peek out from around something.
That's good.
Do you prefer if they're peeking out from behind a corner or if they're peeking out through the doorway, like a door
definitely
is open.
Door in that situation.
I agree. There's something about the door peek that is just a bit more.
Yeah. Especially if you get, you know, like, hello, 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 hello. I love that.
Yeah.
Because then they run in the door and they go out the next door further down the hallway.
Yeah, and then
the monster's chasing them, and sometimes they're chasing the monster.
Sometimes they accidentally chase the monster. Yep. And then occasionally you'll dress up as, like, a sexy female version of the monster to distract the monster.
Absolutely.
But then, like, something gets caught. You can't do that with
corners.
You can't really do that with corners. No, you're right.
Huh. Hmm. Shit, yeah, doors. All right.
Doors.
I'm right. Sold.
Question number four. Love or hate?
Love. Love.
Let's go with love.
All you need is love.
And a lot of cash. Money!
Oh, that Pink Floyd song he knows. fuck.
I can know songs and not an album. That's a thing that people do.
That's true.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Well, you got me.
All you need is love. All you need
and
is
a really love. Big dick.
I have the biggest dick here.
Let's damn right true. You do. Mm-hmm. Question number five.
Ooh, shit. Five.
So, today's Fast Four.
It's either red and green, or it is a choice between two of us.
No, it might be two things that's also really loves.
Stefan.
Or
Gray.
Oh,
shit.
Fuck.
It is two things that I really love.
Aww, look at you.
Yeah.
Way to objectify your friends. I was gonna calling say, them
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
God. Mm-hmm.
They are concepts that I enjoy solipsistically.
Don't make me choose. Like, here's the thing.
Please don't like me cystically. That's.
Huh. Ugh. I've never had Earl Stefan tea.
So I genuinely actually like Gray as a person, and they're going to be really upset to hear that coming from my mouth. I'm just saying, like, I actively like them as a person. I think they're great. But Stefan really kind of has my softy friendship heart. Like, Stefan's just such a sweetheart overall. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, I appreciate my frenemy status with Gray, but also Stefan has that adorable baby.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And that's just, I think that's really what's going to push me over the edge on this one. Huh. So I'm going Stefan.
Stefan's child pushes you over the edge metaphorically, where Gray pushes you over the edge physically.
Emotionally mentally.
Right.
The last time Kyle was over, found our carbon monoxide detector and was pushing a button on it.
Oh, wow.
And it was adorable.
God.
Oh, poor stuff. Like, my place is not baby-proof.
No, yeah.
Nope.
My place is great for the vast majority of my friends' kids, because they're all over the age of, like, six at this point, really.
Your idea of baby-proofing is that there are condoms near each of the beds.
I was going to say, like, my swords are up off the floor. It's really what baby-proofing is in my house.
Then it will be a very dear lesson indeed.
Yes. Kohai was just messing with stuff. Mm. And I still found it adorable.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
I love them both.
Yeah.
I
got raspberry bushes from Stefan.
Mm.
But I got a beer fridge from Gray.
Oh, shit. God damn it, James. We need to stop hanging out.
Everyone thinks so. Yeah.
And with the raspberries, I'm going to make booze.
That you're going to put into the beer fridge.
That I'm going to put in the beer fridge, which is going to keep them chilled. Fuck.
I see your dilemma.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You probably get more use out of the beer fridge on a regular basis.
Which is more fun? Stefan Senpai, or Zastara. I think Gray gets the better introduction.
That could be. Yeah.
He's got the better hype.
Theme
song, yeah.
I'm going to give this to Stefan for a very particular reason. And that is that Stefan, between the two of them, was the first one to listen to the Awful Copter. Quite infamously.
Sure. No, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one should listen to it. But Stefan did. Mm. So I award him this out of deep sorrow.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Stefan's got the air horn in his intro, but Gray's got the song, so...
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, let's go to the lobby. Us or them. When choosing a song on a jukebox, do you play something to appease the crowd or a personal favorite?
All of my personal favorites appease the crowd, so I don't...
If they want to listen to something else, they can... play something else. That's
and I like it does kind of depend if I'm like pretending to DJ an event.
Oh yeah,
kind
yeah.
of a thing, mm-hmm. or if I'm just there to have a goddamn meal of some sort, right. and I want to hear my shit.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, probably.
Holy fuck!
What?
I was reading ahead. Sorry.
Oh, fuck you.
I was listening to you as well. Uh-huh. I can do both.
I was listening, and my reaction was to what you said.
Eh. All right. Yeah, probably us.
Okay.
Probably, even if I'm choosing songs for a crowd, it has to be something I want to hear.
Yeah.
So.
Concur.
Yeah.
My choice.
When I share music with people, it is... out of the hope that they will enjoy it.
But is that doing a song on the jukebox, or is that saying, here, hey, I want you to listen to this song?
For example,
that's a different scenario.
Of Jenna's parties, YouTube casting has become an event.
I know.
And I will share music that I think people will enjoy in one way or another.
Sure.
Whether it's a weird music video, whether it's just a super fucking good song, or whether it's just an absolute goddamn catastrophe, and I feel like people will enjoy watching that train wreck. Mm. Whatever it is, maybe it is something that I want to hear, but my motive is to share it with others in the hopes that they will enjoy it.
Yeah, this makes sense.
No, I can see that, but I think to Jenna's point, though, I still have to like it.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know that any one of the three of us would play a song that we fucking hate.
You might.
No, probably not.
But if any of us were going to, it would be you.
Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two.
Okay.
Simple or complex? When out for a social evening, Salsa, ask the others.
A stunning indictment.
Do you keep your drink order simple or try something requiring some skill to make?
If it's simple and I can make it at home, then I'll fucking make it at home. If I do try to pick from a cocktail list, like something that they've already said, no, we got this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To be clear, but yeah, please make me an espresso martini, which is not too difficult, but I don't always have ingredients at home.
It's also not very simple.
It's not a vodka crayon or whatever. Yeah. Right.
The complexity has never entered the equation for me. I'm just going to try what sounds good at the moment.
You know, I could order a regular fucking Bloody Mary. And I understand that it's kind of an asshole move to ask for a gin Bloody Mary and to order it as Bloody Margaret. Well, because you're just like...
It's just replacing one with another, isn't
it? Right. I was going to say, it's not the worst or the most pretentious. Sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's an asshole move.
Yeah, I don't...
It's not the simplest drink order, because the simplest drink order would be Bloody Mary. But it is...
I did that.
It's not complicated.
If you're just swapping one booze for another, I don't feel that changes the actual complexity. I think a Bloody Mary in and of itself is more complex than, say, a glass of tomato juice.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Or,
a pint of Guinness.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Like, that, to me, like, just ordering a Bloody Mary of any kind, a Bloody Margaret, a Bloody Bloody, whatever, that's still what I would consider a more complex drink, because there's more action to it. I don't think changing the booze really adjusts that one way or the other. It's just, it might be another thing that the server needs to write down.
And the thing that I want to avoid is the thing that my dad does. And I love my father, but he will say, I want a vodka sour with a twist of peel. Not, I don't want you to squeeze, like a lemon or a lime into it. I want some of the peel.
That's what a twist is.
To like squeeze that into it before dropping it in there, and he's entirely specific about like how much never about like what booze, like which vodka, but just like
the specific step in the process.
So it's more than just shaken, not stirred.
I think in that respect I'm gonna go simple. Because even, to Jenna's point, I'm going to order something off the menu. They've already indicated this is a thing that we are willing to make.
Yeah.
Right.
I think what you're saying is when you doctor things, when you start substituting and being specific about, I want, you know, the half-calf mocha latte with a half shot of espresso and the quarter flavor of, and that. But getting into, like, really, really granular specificity, is that kind of where you're going with it?
Right. I think that's where it goes into the area of being complicated. Okay. Not just complex, but complicated. Because,
I mean, like, when we were...
Right. And the word was complex.
Yes, that's right.
I am allergic to half the planet, so when I go to order food, sometimes...
It needs complexity.
That's just all it is. Sure. Right? Yeah. That's my option or death. Mm-hmm. So...
Right.
But I think...
I'll have the cake.
Like, we find out who is right.
Yeah. When we were at Oga's Canteen in Disney World, they had some really crazy complex cocktails. But that was the point.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was, you went there for the complex cocktails. So sure. I think that
Tattersall
But when you ordered it, you ordered the thing on the menu, which is simple.
Yeah.
So I think I'm kind of going with what James was saying there with taking something that is pre-existing and then modifying it and making it
more hyper-specific.
Right. And that is something that I don't do. I will just say the name of the thing on the menu and I'm done.
Yeah.
So
I'm only specific when it comes to dietary things. To. Like, I don't care. They're like, what kind of vodka? I'm like, fucking whatever's cheapest. Rail. Just chuck it in there.
Yeah.
If I'm getting a vodka crayon, the whole point of doing that is because the crayon cancels out anything to do with the vodka and its quality.
Right.
Just.
It's healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For prevent infections.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Question number 3, doors or corners. Which area is more annoying to clean when messy?
Doors.
Doors.
For me.
Doors?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Corners are easy.
Yeah.
Doors move.
Also, okay, for me, when I clean a door, I am cleaning the dust off of the molding.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely wiping the handles. I'm wiping down anywhere where little kids' hands have left dirt over the course of pushing doors. Sometimes I'm even getting in the in-between space between the door and the hinges and the frame. I am dusting the frame. I am there are a lot more intricate bits and pieces to cleaning a door for me
than an angle.
I mean,
unless the intent is cleaning out a corner where things have piled up.
That's what I was thinking. As a person to whom organization does not come naturally, I'm thinking of stuff piled up in front of a door or around a door versus being piled up in a corner.
I don't pile things up in front of a door.
I, for one, am deeply surprised by this information.
Why would you do that? That's not...
Fucking happens.
You're removing the functionality of the fucking door. I don't...
am aware.
What? Why would you...
Yeah.
I just...
No, I get it.
Question number four. Love or hate? Why do I do this?
Because you love us and you want us to be able to continue to have our fast fives.
I'm going to say love.
I'm going to hope love.
I've got to really hope love.
Yeah.
This took a turn.
Yeah.
Is everything okay, Steve?
Oh, God.
Blink twice while you're listening if things are not okay.
Oh, God.
And then send us a message to let us know how many times you blinked.
I mean, I suppose it could be I hate the feeling of disappointing my friends.
I suppose it.
Like, that
more than loving
hate.
Them? You just...
okay, there are some friends.
Oh, shit.
There are some people in my community where I'm like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Friends, I have accidentally bullied Jenna.
Stefan, I'm really sorry I missed that last event you invited me to.
Oh, shit!
Wow. My God.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Oh, shit.
Somebody's sleep-deprived.
Oh, no.
Question number five. Stefan or Gray, who do you really think wrote this?
Oh, shit!
What? Oh, my God.
Oh, shit!
What? Oh,
closing
fuck.
Thoughts.
I'm taking back everything nice I said about you, Gray. Screw you.
Closing thoughts.
See, that's a good twist.
Closing
that
thoughts. Apologies twist. To Senpai. It was me, Gray. I am the problem. It's me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well,
Jesus.
That was a fucking ride. Right.
Asshole.
Wow.
God damn.
Well, fucking play.
I am so excited for Senpai to listen to this. Fuck.
Especially since is a fast five from, I assume, the real Stefan here in my queue as well.
Oh my God.
What if that's not the case?
I got two from Stefan. Like, Stefan must have written two.
Yep.
So now I'm questioning if the second one is also from Stefan.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Gray,
fuck.
What have you done?
Fuck.
This is amazing.
It's own chaos.
I'm so happy about this.
God. Oh, my God.
Question number four makes way more sense, though.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Fuck, man. Yeah, no, I would love to be on the fly on the wall when Stefan hears this.
Jesus.
He's like, oh, they've gotten to my fat. This isn't my
what
fast.
What the fuck is this?
Oh, shit, no.
Stefan, please give us your reaction.
Oh, my
on
God.
The
no, he filled it out exactly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck. It's really good.
Oh, no. So, I guess Gray is our QA person they found.
They definitely found.
They found where they can put the round.
So they filled it out exactly the way that Stefan Senpai would have.
Well, like the name?
Jesus.
Yeah, like the name is spelled correctly, written Stefan Senpai as exactly. Oh, like I'm looking at the other ones from Stefan and it's written exactly the same.
Either like, that or this was a coordinated effort.
What?
He apologized to Stefan, so it doesn't sound like it was.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Still.
Jesus.
Well fucking played.
No. Wow.
Fuck. That was real good.
God damn it.
I'm going to question everything now.
I love
until next week when I forget.
You'll probably forget in 15 minutes. Let's be real.
About what? Oh, is it time for a Fast Five yet?
Fast Five.
Does anybody have a shout out? Oh no! Hold on. I'm so flustered right now. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, fill out the form. Apparently, put anybody's fucking name
in
there.
Look, it's your goat. They've gotten it.
Jesus. That fucking rolled me. Now, somebody else.
Oh, no.
Look, this is giving
you... We've opened a door.
Oh, yes, they have. Hopefully, this means more people will walk through it. Mav. Where you been, buddy?
Where the fuck?
This where is when you at, bitch? Find out that we've actually not been receiving Fast Fives from anybody but Mav for a year.
Oh my god.
Fuck. The long fucking including con. Mine somehow.
Jesus.
Writing them.
Oh shit.
Oh my god.
Now does anybody have any just fucking do the thing.
You know what? I'm going to give a shout out to my own goddamn mad skills.
Ooh.
Because I fixed a motherfucking boiler this weekend.
Yeah.
So shout out to me, bitches. It was actually easier than doing computer repairs. So.
I'm going to give a shout out to bad 80s sword and sorcery movies and bad 70s kung fu movies.
Hell yeah.
I watched, after introducing the kids to them, I remembered they existed, and I spent like both all of the evenings after the kids went to bed, I watched old kung fu movies and bad sword and sorcery movies.
Swap recommendations
with
you.
And it was the fucking
best.
Yeah. It was fucking amazing. I loved it. It was so good.
I've got some real terrible movies to offer you.
I don't want terrible. Good.
Like, ones that I love, but they're not well made.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
They are enjoyable.
But janky is okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you will like them.
Awesome.
Is why I would recommend them.
Mm-hmm.
Us versus them.
I would recommend them.
Right.
Because I think you would hate them.
Yeah. Love versus hate.
Love versus hate.
God damn it.
So, yeah. I'm Jesus Christ. I have to give a shout out to Greg.
Yeah.
They really fucked us up.
No, they absolutely rolled us on that.
Wow. All right. Holy shit. Yeah, that's where my shout out's going.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
Nope. I am intending to go to the Reverend Matt show this Thursday. It looks great.
As they always do.
Yes.
Yeah. I was actually thinking of going on Friday. I have some other friends that are going on Friday, and they were like, hey, want to go Friday? And first I was thinking of going Thursday, but then they were like, want to go Friday? And so now I'm kind of planning on going Friday. But then now another friend of mine is going on Thursday. And so now I just feel conflicted at the end.
Guess you just got to go both nights.
I am going to,
to get caught
also
up on that project.
Plug for the end of this month, the last Sunday of this month. Sunday. Vilification Tennis goes to church.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
I see no problem with this.
That one is tempting, man.
Yeah.
Like...
Holy shit. I have seen the playlist for it.
Okay.
And, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've had this kind of fun with a topic for a while.
This is my shocked face.
I was about to say, the one Christian leaves the group, and suddenly y'all need Jesus. All right.
Christian.
Yeah. No, nothing quite yet, but I'm only about a month away from my spring season. So, Casimir is coming soon. Just a month away.
You?
Yep. It's my new show. New act.
Different kind of no escape blast. Yep.
Something comes in the top, something goes out the bottom. It's a one for one.
I need to leave now.
Okay, bye. We're going to leave. Any final thoughts?
Bye. I love you. Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens. Thank you to whoever the fuck wrote that Fast Five for us. That was real good. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh, no!